Good day and welcome to this discussion just around what's happening in the world of property, specifically the listed property sector. What's happening? What are the drivers? What is pushing and pulling that particular sector right now? There's been a lot of movement and some of it has been precedent upon what's been happening in terms of lending rates. And we are having this discussion fresh off of an interest rate decision that has just come through from the Reserve Bank. But outside of that, there has been a lot of movement in that particular space. And for today, we are joined by Evan Robin, who is a fund manager over at Old Mutual Investment Group, to give us some insight into what's going on in the world of listed property, and also to give us a sense of where are we right now, and could we at some point go back to how things were back in the day. Evan, greetings to you today.
Hi.
I think a good place for us to begin today's discussion, Evan, is to maybe paint us a picture of what the listed property space looks like, in 2024. You and I are having this discussion in September of 2024, which means, depending on how you're looking at it, we're at the tail end of the third quarter or about halfway through the second half of the year. So maybe if you could just paint us a picture of what does property look like right now at this moment in time.
So maybe let's go back a bit further. Even before COVID, property was weak. It really surged in some years before COVID, but a couple of years before COVID, property started getting weak. Property had a very poor COVID, far worse than other sectors. And property continued to be very weak until the last quarter of last year, 2023. That's when things started to look better in terms of property share prices. What really happened is all the property fundamentals have been quite grim. They've been deteriorating. And last year, we started seeing signs that things actually had troughed. Things were getting a bit better. Stopped falling, which is all very positive. So we had a rally in listed property at the end of last year. And I would say a lot of that ready was the market taking into account some of the improvement, or that things aren't getting worse. And it was quite a strong ready, say 10% extra on top of everything else on that. Then this year, we had the government national unity and we had bond yields coming down sharply as the global markets priced in less risk in South Africa. And that's very positive for property because property is quite closely linked to government bond yields. So we had a very strong rally in property, but that was not on the back of bonds. It's almost bond yields went down, property prices go up, and as bond yields came down significantly. Then what we've seen in the last month or so, maybe a bit longer, is property started rallying on its own, even beyond the movement in bonds, and even beyond other interest rate sensitive sectors like, let's say, banks. So again, we've had, let's say, another run up to 10% extra return from property beyond all that. And that is possibly a bank on the back of things still improving. Some company results have been pleasing. Could be catch up because even though property has done better than other interest rate sectors over the last year, if you go back to pre-COVID, it's still lagged significantly. And that's where we stand today, where property has significantly improved over the last year. Some very nice results, some catch up. A lot of the good news though has been priced in.
It's very interesting the way that you help to characterize the market, sort of coupling some of the factors that have helped to drive up the rally that you pointed at last year and the one from earlier this year, the bond yields and, how that, impacted the market. But now you're saying that independent of those things, the sector itself is doing a little bit of catch up, and you've seen some positive momentum, especially off of some of the company results.
Property has been strong beyond the strength in bonds and beyond the strength of some other sectors in the short term, and that's a good sign, and that's significant.
And so now that we're at this point where we are independent of those factors that you spoke about, is there anything else that you perhaps would want to call out apart from some of the positive results that have come out from some of the companies as drivers for some of the momentum?
Yeah, I mean, we were expecting the improvement, but I think maybe when to see it is always better than expecting it. And net, the results were better than certainly we were expecting. We were expecting improvement, but some of them were far surpassed what we expected. It's not like boom times. No one's making fortunes of money in property and not massive growth, but it's improvement over what was expected, what was before. I think that's what's important. We have a return. We're seeing a return to growth, or you can see it within sight, returns to growth. So you're talking about a sector that before had earnings falling or just staying flat. You now can see a sector where you can look forward to earnings growing again, as they should in property. It should be stable with some growth.
You know, what's very interesting about the things that you're talking about is the fact that I guess one of the things I'm also trying to understand in all this is whether you have a market that is, just fundamentally, looking at a rosier outlook, or perhaps, you have a market that is anticipating, some good things to be happening, later, down the line. But one of the things that we were then curious about is to say that the sector hasn't rebounded yet to pre-COVID levels. Is it likely that we're going to reach these heights again? And what needs to happen for levels to get anywhere close to that again?
So if property companies never paid out a dividend, in other words, they retained and reinvested all the earnings, we actually would be above pre-COVID levels in total return, which means if you bought property at its peak just before COVID, you wouldn't have lost money today. In real terms, you wouldn't have got a return. But I think that's, if you add back the dividends. In terms of the prices, though, because they do pay dividends, prices are significantly lower. And that's because the earnings base is significantly lower. Let's say 30% lower. That's just the round number there. So I can't see earnings going up 30% very easily. A lot of that was rebasing. We had office rentals came down a lot over COVID, big office market. The retailers were paying too much of their turnover as rental before COVID. That's, there were some hard negotiations there, brought it down. So a number of base effects have brought the earnings down and interest rates higher as well, which and that can reverse. So we're not going to easily go back to the earnings level of 30% higher, say, that we had before. So it's not a fair base. That was then, this is now. However, you can paint the picture of some positives that could occur that could certainly push property higher than currently. If interest rates continue to fall and fall more than expected, we had a cut now, that's going to help, but more interest rates would certainly help earnings. If bond yields fall more than currently, that'll help valuations even more because the cost of capital will go down. If vacancies are beginning to fall, certainly offices is not a master sector in the listed space, but it's quite a volatile sector. Office vacancies have been reducing for the nine consecutive quarters. Came down to 60 basis points this week again on the official numbers. So as those vacancies improve, that helps in some nodes where vacancies are getting significantly lower. So and those vacancies, as you fill vacancies, that's money that goes straight to the bottom line. That could push things up. For offices, at least, we're not at the level of pricing power for rentals. The rule of thumb is you need vacancies under 5% to start getting pricing power. In general, there are some nodes approaching that or some sectors, but vacancies are far higher than that at the moment. But certainly, pricing power increases. Retail, if the economy is stronger, the consumer is stronger, we don't have huge pricing power in retail. Once again, it won't take that much to start putting price pressure there because retailers have been on the front foot. We don't have excessively low vacancies. We don't have a huge amount of new shopping centers being built, so that could help. A little bit of pricing power helps a lot. You could have those factors. The valuation of properties listed in the listed market are way below what it would cost to rebuild them. So eventually, the choice between rebuilding or being an existing property, the rental that you need to justify a rebuild is much higher than the current rentals. And that really puts it, and that only helps when things are full. And your choice is an existing building, you've got to build a new building because there's nothing else. That's a longer term driver, but our rentals are amongst the lowest in the world in many sectors. You know, it's an aberrationally low because the market's been weak. So there are a lot of long-term factors that actually push things up much higher. Then long-term, medium-term, long-term factors, you know, the base is 30% lower, as I mentioned. So it's going to take a while to get there. But there certainly are some positives after what's been a very bleak period for property. And also quite a lot of SA property, even in the local REITs, have got offshore exposure mainly to Europe. If interest rate cuts there start improving those property markets, and some of those property markets have been challenged themselves in some ways, it's also going to flow through to local performance as well. And with interest rate cycle turning there as well, could be positive. But the biggest driver is going to be the South African economy. If that improves, the consumer improves, then office vacancies improve and retail sales improve. That's really be the driver. But we need that, and sustained strength there could, you know, at one day will certainly drive us back to where we were pre-COVID.
It certainly feels like, you know, the answer to so many questions in the world of business right now is, well, it all depends on how much is the South African economy going to grow by, because that tends to be the leading indicator, you know, as to how much momentum you're actually going to push behind a certain sector, industry, you know, or group of assets. And I think, like you said, there's a lot of simplicity in, you know, what actually needs to happen. But the difficulty is actually getting the needle to move on any one of the individual factors that you've just, you know, mentioned just now. The economy obviously being the biggest one, which feeds into, you know, the health of the consumer, their appetite, you know, to consume retail and, you know, and you know, all of those things all, you know, feeding into the vacancy discussion that you were talking about just now. So very interesting just to understand what's it going to take to get the local property sector back to those pre-COVID-19 levels. And I guess it's sobering to understand the fact that as much as, you know, there has been good momentum, there's still a way to go, you know, when it comes to actually getting the sector back to where things were. But Evan, one of the things that you did touch on a couple of times in the last few minutes is the fact that, you know, there has been, you know, a turn in the downward direction when it comes to interest rates. In the United States, the market where a lot of economies tend to take the lead from, we saw a 50 basis point rate cut. And in South Africa, we're seeing a 25 basis point, you know, cut that has just been announced by the local Reserve Bank. As far as you are concerned or know, do you expect that these cuts are going to be meaningful enough to really help to boost the sector?
I think you need to really boost the sector, we need a bit more than just 25 basis points. Anything helps, I think. More importantly is the actual direction. So if you're in an environment where interest rates are continually going up, you've got to worry about earnings coming down because of that. A flat or even improving environment we're in is far more positive, the rate of change. I think that's important. You know, probably is cyclical, and interest rates tend to be cyclical as well. So if you're in the beginning of a downward cycle, that is positive for interest-sensitive assets, which obviously property is one of those. Actual property earnings, you know, a portion of the earnings benefits immediately because the portion is floating, but a lot of it's fixed interest rates. So it takes a long time for the full effect of interest rate cuts to come through in the numbers. But what is more meaningful isn't necessarily the interest rates, short-term interest rates themselves, it's the long-term interest rates, which are the bond yields, because that's what the assets are valued at. The building is not priced off the short-term interest rates, it's priced off the longer-term bond yields, a longer-term cost of capital. So the two are interrelated. So a lower interest rate environment certainly should result in lower bond yields if the economy is convinced or has some conviction inflation is going to be kept under control. So that's really the driver, and the lower interest rate environment certainly favors that, with the market still having confidence in the Reserve Bank to be able to handle inflation.
Yeah, no, understood from that point of view. Good. In terms of the direction, but certainly a little bit more needed in terms of, I guess the magnitude, of the cuts themselves for us to actually move the needle. Now, Evan, you and I have had, today's discussion, sort of talking broadly about what's going on in the market, what's driving the market, and you've helped to paint us a picture of what's going on. But one of the things that we're quite curious about is for players in the actual, property market, and I'm sure that you get to interact with a number of them in your day-to-day, what are the actual concerns on the ground? What sort of things or factors are, your local, property market players that you speak to, actually concerned with on the ground?
So there are lots of concerns. It's still a tough market. Maybe in the sectors we mentioned, offices, there's still concern around offices. It depends very much where your portfolio is. And it's, offices may be improving, but there's still a very tough market. Water and infrastructure is a growing concern, especially in Gauteng with water security and landlords feeling they have to start putting in water infrastructure and back up themselves. And with electricity, it's not that hard to recoup some of those costs. Water, it's a bit harder because tenants expect it. But if your building has no water, it's not inhabitable. So that's a growing concern. I think that's getting on the agenda more and more, infrastructure and water. The other one which is linked to that is raising taxes. That's a huge problem for property. Raising taxes has just been going up at a remarkable rate. Compound annual growth rate of raising taxes has been enormous, and it compounds. What that means is that tenants are paying, even if rents stay flat, the rent the landlord gets, the tenants is paying more and more for their property rental because of the raising taxes component. So that makes it harder for the landlord to get a return because the tenants saying, well, my rent bill, my total bill has really increased by X and you want to increase it further. Even though they're hardly not even getting inflation, they're still paying more. So that's a huge problem, the massive increase in rates and taxes based being experienced, and also cause cost draws. So property costs, including rates and taxes, exceed rental growth, which brings your margin down, which doesn't help property profitability. So that's a big frustration of the property companies. And with if you speak to them, they not only the rates and taxes are higher, but they're getting less services. In fact, it links to the infrastructure discussion. They may be having to pay to do things themselves that the rates and taxes should cover. So it's a bit of a double whammy there. And I think maybe another point is just disruption. Things have changed in the market. We've got retail on the internet, which disrupts shopping centers, which they learn to cope with, work from home with offices. So some of those changes in the environment obviously impacting landlords as well.
Well, it certainly sounds like there are a number of issues that are affecting actual property market players, on the ground, rates and taxes, like you said, some of the infrastructure discussions. So maybe a good place for us to end today's discussion then, Evan, bringing all of this stuff together, and particularly that last point around some of what the market players are feeling, is how would you, characterize, the sentiment in the local property sector versus the economic or, market reality that is pervasive right now?
So I would think in the listed property market, there used to be very negative sentiment to property. In fact, your generalist fund managers hated the sector. you spoke to them. I would say that hasn't moved from negative to positive. I'd say it's moved to negative to neutral. But that move from negative to neutral has been very positive because people are seeing some growth and they've been saying, look how short we are, we need to own some property. And I think that's my sense of where the sentiment has been. I think on the back of that, the market has priced in a lot of the improvement has been priced in. If there's additional improvement and macro improvement, well, that, the market could certainly improve from there. And the returns you can expect from property at the moment are not terrible. Really, you're getting a decent return. The excess return, you can say, has gone, but you still get a decent property-like return. So I think we've seen that from negative, from unloved to neutral. If things go well, from neutral to loved, but I think that will take a lot more performance from the sector, but it's not impossible. But it's still a big change from what really was a very shunned sector based on its performance.
All right. So that's where we round up today's discussion. And, from almost everything that's being said, a lot of positive momentum, across the board, but still, almost all of that being caveated by the fact that there is a way to go. I think that, last bit about sentiment is a good, example of that. The fact that there was a lot of negative sentiment, like what Evan said, but that sentiment has turned to neutral, which means that, you've had a positive movement towards, that neutral position, but you still need a lot more positivity for it to really move properly into positive territory. And in the same way, just understanding the fact that the local sector has had a lot of gains in the last year, but still is yet to make it back to some of those pre-COVID-19 levels. Also great to sort of hear the fact that there has been an interest rate cut. And once again, great on the direction, but in terms of magnitude, we might need to see a lot more momentum in terms of that downward, trend when it comes to interest rates for it to actually make, to actually move the needle, for the sector, particularly for, as Evan said, those parts of the sector that are interest rate dependent, those assets that are, tied to interest rates in that way. And then I think just lastly, another thing that, Evan pointed out quite well, is to say that, at the beginning that there were a couple of factors, where property sort of moved in tandem with some of the other factors. I think bond yields was one of the ones that he mentioned, but at least now we've been seeing that the sector has been, enjoying its own, set of positive momentum. And, any positivity at this point is a good thing. So that's where we end off. Evan, I'm not sure if there's anything else that you want to, say before we let you go.
No, hopefully things view on the positive side, Lexi.
Definitely. So that's where we end off for today. It has been a really great discussion. And thank you so much. We were talking to Evan Robbins. He is a fund manager over at Old Mutual Investment Group. Remember that you can now subscribe for free episodes on iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. I've been your host, Mliwa Gavaza, of the Business Day and Financial Mail.